This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Ari Shamoulian joining us, defense attorney and professor of law. We've been discussing the Alec Murdaugh case with him very much since the beginning of the trial, and was as with everyone who's been on the show since then and is now coming back on. I want everyone to have an opportunity to express their thoughts on the verdict. And this is the first time we've had you back on since that verdict has come down. Ari, your feelings?
You know, I'm not surprised by the verdict. It's sad to see such a big family name go down the way that it's gone down. But ultimately, the jury's decision came down to what appears to be one big thing. And that is the video that depicts Mr. Murdaugh's voice in the background in relation to the dogs. Mm-hmm. Once that audio was there and it conflicts directly with Murdaugh's defense of not being present at the time of the killings, I think he lost a lot of credibility there.
Yeah, I think that was the big thing. That was the thing that really sunk him. I think he sunk himself on the stand very much. It was interesting because from the outside looking in, he, in I think many of us analyzing the case, said, we think he did a pretty good job. But then those who were like right there, those in the jury watching him, who could see close up beyond high definition television even, they said he wasn't crying. It was simply snot going down his face. And in a lot of dramatic acting, and they felt that they saw through it, I think, even more than those of us on the outside who had more information did.
Yeah, and that's, you know, the risks of a jury trial is one where the jury gets to see your client face to face. They get to gauge your client from 10 feet away and determine whether or not they look credible. And in the case at hand, and as far as Mr. Murdaugh goes, the jury didn't buy it. They think that something fishy happened and he didn't come across credible. And one other thing that was, I think, a big bombshell in this case was the fact that he went down to the police department with his attorney and provided a statement. Had that statement never been provided as far as his alibi and where he was, the defense could have controlled the whole narrative of this case and revolved it around this video. But because they locked themselves into a statement by going to the police department and giving that alibi, the detectives were able to find this video and counteract where his alibi was at.
Put yourself in the shoes of Harpootalan and Jim Griffin and Alec coming to you in the middle of this thing and saying, guess what, guys? I lied about a key point in this. How would you handle that as a defense attorney in the middle of this trial?
You know, at that point, it's too late. You hope that all the clients you have as the defense attorneys are honest and outright with you. As far as when a bombshell like that comes out, you have to adapt and overcome. You have to see what good points you have. You have to adapt to the situation. And hopefully by presenting mitigating factors, you overcome that new hurdle. And unfortunately, in the case at hand, they weren't able to do it. It was just too big of a bombshell that came out.
Could this have been something that Harpootalan knew sooner than just like the day of that he said this in court, maybe the day before? Or do you think they knew this going in, that this was what he was going to drop towards the end of the trial? Was this part of the strategy all along?
It definitely might have been part of the strategy. Defense attorneys and prosecutors always have weird ways of bringing these bombshell things out. If it was a strategic device on part of the DA's office, the prosecutors, to do it, it definitely stuck, right? It resonated with the jury and they came back with a guilty verdict. As far as the defense goes, if they knew that this was going to be a big issue, they definitely should have prepared much better for this big issue at trial, especially because Mr. Murdaugh took the stand. He should have polished it up much more.
How does it strike you as an attorney? Do you think they knew much earlier on, or do you think it struck them as a shock as well, the defense for Murdaugh?
Yeah, I think the defense was partially shocked about what happened. And the fact that Mr. Murdaugh takes the stand and says, oh, you know, I realized it was one lie and then I had to lie to cover things up and it was more lies. That didn't help him. That taking the stand and saying, hey, I'm a liar. I started with one lie and it, you know, snowballed. Mm-hmm. Didn't help him. Didn't help him at all.
On appeal here. Now, that's obviously the next attempted step. How do you think that will play out?
Appeals are very difficult to win, and unless there's something huge that the trial court did that was inappropriate, or if the defense or if the district attorney's office, the prosecutors, if they withheld any type of evidence, then there would be a good shot. Most cases are not successful at appeal unless there's a huge issue and a miscarriage of justice somewhere. So I don't think there's going to be success there.
It's likely. I mean, how let me ask you this. How long or how many times can one appeal something like this? How many shots does he have at getting this thing struck down or reversed or a retrial or a mistrial?
Yeah, in the case at hand and at the state where it's at, I don't know their particular rules of the court, but I will tell you this. There's initially one big threshold that you have to get through to get to the Court of Appeals. And if you're successful, then that's it. You're good to go. Of course, later down the line, if there's new evidence that comes to light, right, mm-hmm. if there's exculpatory evidence that tends to prove a client's innocence, mm-hmm. you can always bring that up to the court, and the court, in the interest of justice, should take a look at it.
So, for example, if, and this is just a, I don't know if it's a wild theory or not, because there's been so many wild things in this, it comes out that Alec was not necessarily the gunman, but maybe was brought there by gunmen. Who said, we're killing your family because you owed us money and this is the price you're going to pay. And we're going to kill the rest of your family too, unless you pay us. And yeah. Could this have, if this were to be the case, if Alec were to make this sort of wild statement, you would need some sort of evidence before that, for that statement to be backed up, correct? Before it could actually go to court.
Yeah, of course. There's got to be direct evidence or circumstantial evidence. And one thing that the defense claimed over and over in this case was that this was potentially drug dealers that did this. This was a gang that Murdaugh kept buying drugs from that did this in retaliation.
But they did, but they didn't ever go down that road very much. They hardly touched that area.
Very disappointing, right? I think that was a stronger alibi, the fact that someone else did this killing. And they clearly have a motive, right? Mm-hmm. If they're selling drugs, the motive is there to want to harm someone's family if you pose a danger to them. They should have gone down that avenue more. They should have, you know, tied the loose ends with the jury about that. At this stage, as far as the appeal goes, if there is some new evidence that shows this was a gang member that did this and there's credible evidence, then definitely I think the Court of Appeal may look at that.
It's a very dark, twisted story, and I'm sure it's not ending anytime soon.
I agree. A lot of these cases that we deal with, sometimes the verdict of the jury is just the beginning. Most of the battle may come out in appeal.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast
with Tony Bruschi,
Ari Shemulian, defense attorney and professor of law. Thank you so much for your insight on that case and the many others that we continue to cover right here. If you like the coverage and you want more, you want access to everything we're doing, press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. If you want an ad-free experience, we got that for you too on Apple Podcasts. Just subscribe over there and get access to everything with no commercials. You can binge away all you want and into the archives as well. My name is Tony Bruschi. You can follow me on Twitter at Tony B Pod. Stay with us.